Welcome to the Rescue and Revive Gospel Show. Your host, Pastor Domenico Denisi. Thank you for joining us for 25 minutes of gospel-centered conversation. And with me at our High Falls headquarters is Pastor Ken Todd of Harvest Christian Fellowship. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, thanks for the invitation, man. It's been a while.
It's been a while. In fact, the last time, which was had to be 3, 4, maybe even 5 years ago, I was trying to think about it today. You were literally a bigger man.
I was 185 pounds bigger.
Amazing. I still am. You walked in the parking lot today, and I still was like, wow, I'm still getting used to this. I mean, it's amazing how much smaller you are. And that's nothing spiritual. This doesn't have to do with anything spiritual. So I told you, I don't strip the show, but I just, it's like, wow, well, let me commend you. Regardless of how it happened, why it happened, you look like you're in phenomenal shape.
Well, I tell you, I needed to lose some weight, and I was working hard at it. I spent a year eating one meal a day, and I really didn't do a whole lot. But when you get an infection after a heart surgery, and I lost like 150 pounds in the first 5.5 months, and they just kept going on, and finally it was diagnosed what it was and got it under control. And hard way to lose weight, but I'm glad it's off.
Yeah.
And much healthier now because of it.
Well, now I'm a bit envious. As I look at you and I'm like, man, this guy, I gotta really get on the treadmill and watch what I'm eating. But it's great to see you, and
thank you.
Good to see you in such phenomenal physical shape. And now we'll talk about the things of God and the spiritual. Yeah. I've had the honor and the privilege, although it was in the middle of COVID, I remember it well, to speak under the banner of Rescue and Revive Ministries a good 3, 4, 5 years ago. Since that time, you know, I don't know the current status. I was able to minister at John Salmon, a mutual friend's funeral there at Harvest. But tell us what's going on. Harvest, first of all, where it's located, the church that you pastor, and kind of what's going on there as of late.
Sure. We're about to complete 15 years in January of being at Harvest Bible Fellowship. And on Calkins Road. We're about 3 miles east of the Dome Arena, if you're familiar with that, over there in Henrietta.
Yes.
And it's been pretty exciting. You know, it's like any ministry, it has its ups and downs, but it's been really cool to see some of the new families that God has brought in. Over the last year, we've seen some people really give their life to Christ from some really interesting backgrounds, from addictions, from practicing witchcraft. Mm. Just they put their faith in Christ, and man, the difference in their lives, the joy that they have, coming in every week with a smile on their face. It's been so cool. We've had a couple other folks come in who had attended other churches for the last 15, 17 years. And one guy says, I did not know the Bible could be used that way, because that's that amazing. Church was not accustomed to taking the Word of God and truly teaching it so it can be understood and applied to their lives. And so that's a lot of exciting things going on. Of course, there's other discipleship classes and so forth going on, but yeah.
That's, I love what you just said, because it pertains to what I'll be teaching at Spenceport Bible this Sunday. And we're literally finishing Romans, been in it 9 months. And the Apostle Paul ends with a warning. And he says, mark those who cause divisions and offenses amongst you, contrary to the doctrine which I'm teaching. Mm. You said, this gentleman said, hey, I'd never heard the Bible. And that always stands out to me. I've heard that in Kenya as well. And our ambassador, Pastor Max, is watching right now. Abariako, Dugu. We've heard things like that in Kenya. Wow, you just teach the Bible. We haven't heard the Bible like this before. Why do you think that is, what's the issue today, what going on in the church?
You know, just last night I was talking to a pastor friend in Pennsylvania, and I said, I think it really comes down to two things. Number one, pastors will either be a pastor because it's a career choice or it's a calling. If it's a career choice, well, then do your job and go home at the end of the day. If it's a calling of God, put your heart into it and let God work through you and speak through you.
Well said.
So that's the first thing. And the second thing is this. I think it's a lot of pastors don't want to do the hard work. I can't tell you the number of pastors who begin surfing the web every Wednesday, Thursday to start preparing their message for Sunday. They're not in the Word of God to develop their relationship with God. And the only time they are in the Word is only to prepare that next sermon.
Mm.
And they're doing it the easiest way possible. And I just found in my life, I need that time with God, number one, to know His heart, to know where He's leading me, for His Spirit to open up doors of opportunity in the Word, but also to know what He wants me to preach and to teach, and then to take the time that is needed to break down that Word.
Yeah.
And to apply it or make it so people can, hey, I get that. I can, you know, that's something I can take with me tomorrow morning when I wake up.
That's so well said. I was just spending some time. It's smart. I was at the church over at Spencerport. And I was, you know, Tuesday's the day I take on main sermon prep, and then I tweak it the rest of the week. But I was just thinking about how the difference between a sermon and a presentation, or a sermon and a TED Talk. There's what you just said is so true and so profound, simple but yet so profound. Anybody who goes into pastoral, evangelistic, missions, any type of ministry for anything other than the glory of God, for the people of God, to me, it's not authentic, and they're hirelings.
Absolutely.
So you look in John 10 about the hireling, and he says the wolf comes and they don't care for the sheep, they leave. There's no way you can be motivated as a man of God, as a pastor, as an evangelist, a missionary, whatever your calling is. Your motivation should simply be for the glory of God.
Amen.
For the people of God, to get the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ out, to make disciples of all nations. So thank you for doing that, by the way. I want to dovetail. I want to piggyback on something, because I know we've had, we have some similarities in this. I know before the 15 years at Harvest, which you've been faithfully pastoring there, the people, you were you did the work of an evangelist. You're an evangelist, right? You know, Rescue and Revive Ministry started almost 7 years ago. It's a mobile gospel ministry. I was had the office of ministry of an evangelist for many years, still do. But you know what I mean? But now I've been pastoring Spencerport Bible going on a few years. I was on staff at another church, putting a fellowship for 5 years, overseeing the children's ministry. So that was pastoral. Talk a little bit. I used to think years ago they're very similar. They're not.
No, you're a pastor with the heart of an evangelist.
Amen.
And I think there, to me, there were a lot of years where, okay, I moved into, I transitioned from going on, being on the road and living in a 40-foot shoebox, doing revival meetings across the country, to being centrally located. And here's what I found, is that to continue to share the gospel, it has to be intentional, number one.
Yes.
And it has to be done with a sense of urgency.
Yes.
Because as a pastor, we're called to reach, to meet with people.
And urgent. Yes.
Yeah, we're with Christians all the time. And if you're not intentional, you can spend all your time with other believers in Christ, and they will take all the time that you can give them, are willing to give them. And not that it's bad, but at what portion of the pie does God get for evangelism? And so, to me, I have to be intentional about it. I can't have the idea that, well, I've got all the power of God giving me, X, 1, 8. 2 Timothy, I've not been given the spirit of fear, but the power of love and sound mind. And then sit at home and expect them to come to knock on my door to get saved. And so the bottom line is, I have to be intentional. And if I lose the sense of urgency, the intentionality goes away with it. And we have to realize that the consequence of not being urgent is that we don't know. Nobody gets up in the morning and say, well, this is the day I'm going to die. Woo!
That's right.
You know, yet you look at the obituary section every week in the newspaper, and there are people who wake up every morning that had no idea that it was going to be their last day on earth, right? And so it has to be intentional. It has to be with a sense of urgency. And I know for me, I have to work at it. It can't just be, oh, I know I'm a pastor, you know, so that's just my job. No. Here's one more factor I'll throw in there.
Please.
I hear people say all the time, well, that's not my gifted. You know, pastor, that's your part of your calling. That's your giftedness. And I said, listen, I will give you the idea that some people have a type of personality where they've never met a stranger. I'm kind of that guy. I've been over 8 countries of Africa, and when I see someone at Wegmans, you know, and I'm, in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, is it Kenya? Is it Togo? Is it Liberia? You know, and it's a game with me, but I use it as an opportunity to open the door, right? A door of conversation. And so I'm that guy that I've never met a stranger. I can sit there and talk to somebody I've never seen before for an hour straight and you know, act like I've known them my entire life. So I'll give the idea that there are those that truly do have a personality that lends itself easier to sharing the gospel. But know this, sharing the gospel is not a gift, it's a command.
That's a good word.
So whether I think I'm good at it or whether I don't think I'm good at it is irrelevant.
That's a great word. I'll say this, what you just said. Well, the office or the gifting of an evangelist, Ephesians 4 certainly is, but you're right. This is what I tell people, and this is how I break it down, is that not everybody is an evangelist. That's
right.
A calling, that's a spiritual gifting, that's an office, however you want to categorize it, but everyone, as a Christ follower, is called to share
the gospel.
Good way
of putting it, yes.
It's absolutely the truth. And, you know, I've heard many people say different, and that's hence the reason Rescue and Revive Ministries, although we haven't taught in a while, we teach the proclamation and conversation of it. And it's for equipping. I've seen tremendous fruit come from that. A lot of people don't feel confident. They don't feel equipped. There's fear. There's a whole multitude of reasons. So we just give them some tools and say, give it a shot. Practice it. Like you said,
absolutely.
Those are two great words. Intentional. You have to be intentional about it, because it's easy, especially if you become incubated in your pastor's office or whatever, to all of a sudden forget there's a lost and dying world out there.
Well, when we isolate ourselves amongst only believers, we become insulated from the world.
That's right.
And even Jesus said, you're in the world, but not of the world. And if you're out of the world, you have no impact on them.
That's it. That's it.
And so we can't isolate ourselves from the world that needs what we have.
I think people think about sometimes, you know, I was even thinking about this recently, Christian events, right? If you're going to have a Christian event. And the reality is, you know, we don't really see that too much, or at least that label biblically. I think about the wedding feast in Cana that Jesus went to. I wonder if all of them were, you know, really loyal Judaizers at the time, if they really were loyal to the Mosaic law, so on and so forth, or if it was just a bunch of Barabbases and John the Baptist in the same room, you know, because that's the heart of Christ. And I think people miss that in Christendom. They miss it, where it's like we're supposed to be amongst the people.
Absolutely.
That's how you rescue the lost.
Well somehow we have to rationalize and justify ourselves in our own day-to-day living as to why we don't do it.
Right.
There's not a whole lot of some of the televangelists I do agree with, but there's one guy who says, listen, all believers live with a certain amount of measurable guilt. And he said, why? He says, because you know there are things that God has called you to do, but you also know you're never going to do it. You feel bad about it, you feel guilty about it, but not enough to change. And I think that's so true, because we justify why we don't do certain things. And I tried to explain to someone just like 3 or 4 days ago. I said, if you look at Scripture, and if it's all about me and what I think I'm good at, well, if I can remember all the verses, if I can remember how the to approach different questions that might get asked, I'm making it all about me, right? So I don't have to be good. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, for the eyes of God run to and fro throughout the whole earth to do one thing, to show himself strong and him whose heart is perfect or mature to him.
That's a good word.
And so, to me, that takes all the pressure off me. I don't have to be good. I don't have to have all the words. I don't have to know exactly how to respond to every little thing that gets brought my way. All I have to do is be willing and available. And God says, if you will let me, I will show myself strong through you. And that way, it takes it all upside down and wraps it around me to making it all about him.
Makes that as you're talking, it makes me think about Isaiah, here I am, send me.
Yes.
Just make yourself available. Be a willing vessel. Let God use you. Let God speak through you. I'm really refreshed, encouraged by this, because it was all gospel, which is what this show is all about. Let me kind of take a right turn, so to speak, because now we have the summer months here, right? And in Rochester, we're deprived of sunshine. We're deprived of warm weather. Schenectady, literally, and I was in Schenectady Saturday for a training class, 31 straight weekends of precipitation.
Yes.
But we're here now, thank God. We're supposed to have a heat wave coming in. How do we take advantage in Rochester as Christians? How do we take advantage to reach the lost in these warm months? Because we have now access to the outdoor, which in the winter, obviously you don't see a lot of street evangelism or outreach going on.
So what we are doing personally, my wife and I, as well as me with some of our men's ministries, you know, I have found coming into summer months, the classes kind of begin to dwindle because people want to be outside.
And
I get it. I understand it. I want to be out there with them. So we are trying to use the outdoors as an opportunity to have, you know, small group gatherings. So on July 4th, you know, my wife and I said, you know what, let's just invite anybody that wants to come over to our backyard. We're going to do hamburgers and hot dogs. That's bring a side dish. And I am inviting everybody I'm running into.
That's beautiful.
I don't care if I have
200
people in my little backyard.
That's
care.
Yeah.
But it's an opportunity, as I say often, to build relationships so that we can invite them to the most important relationship.
Beautiful. Yeah, I love that.
And so that's one thing. And the second thing is with our men's ministry, I told them, even though we may not have formal men's group class every week, we are going to get together, and it's going to be an opportunity to invite your friends, neighbors, coworkers, and maybe even some enemies.
Absolutely. We all have them.
We all need it. So the opportunities, when people want to be outdoors, use it.
Yes.
Right?
I agree 100%. And I love that idea. That's almost called, like, years ago there was this term, I don't know if they still call it, a Matthew party.
Yeah.
It almost sounds like that's what you're doing. Hey, invite anybody, you know, come have some food, and this is to take an advantage, opportunity to tell you about, you know, about Jesus, about an opportunity. You know, God. So I love that.
Absolutely.
I love that. we know some mutual people. I could go that way. In fact, your wife, I probably embarrassed her at North Star when I came in. But she's employed by North Star Christian Academy, yes. Which I spent a couple of years there. Two of my kids graduated. How was the ministry of North Star? How did she do? Is that her first year teaching?
No, it's actually like third year.
Okay, so for those of you who don't know, North Star Christian Academy is a private Christian school in Gates. I spent a couple of years there as a phys ed teacher, security coach, so on and so forth. Your wife is now employed there.
Yep.
Talk to us about that ministry and your wife's life. How has that worked? How has that impacted her?
Wow, my wife absolutely loves being there. My wife is the premier example. I know I'm a little bit biased, prejudiced towards my wife, but she is like a premier example of someone who goes above and beyond to love on those kids.
I can see
that. We've learned years ago that there's so much that takes place behind closed doors that the average person will never know about.
That's true.
I mean, you don't know what these kids are experiencing. You don't know the struggles that they're facing at home because they're quiet. But we found that when you love on those kids and just give them attention, they eat it up.
They eat it up.
But in doing so, you get an opportunity. And as I said to someone the other day, I said, sometimes you have to earn the right to be heard.
Yes.
And when you love on somebody and meet their needs and care for them and show your appreciation and concern for them, it gives you an open door of being able to be heard.
It's well said. There's a young man who's getting married. I've been out of the school. It's been a few years now. Mm. And he just called me up and he's getting married to someone else in North Star. He asked me if I'd officiate.
What?
And that's the fruit of my 2 years in North Star Christian Academy. And I just saw another student at Orient's getting gelato lesson. And we talked and embraced. And so it's so true. And your wife spent many years at Lima Christian School.
Yes, many years.
How many years was she there?
At least 4 years there, yeah.
And so the people don't understand, Pastor Ken, a lot of times people will say they actually think private school teachers make more than public. Private school teachers are ministers. They make
it's
pennies.
About half.
Yeah, when I tell people what my highest salary was as a private school teacher, because I was always in the private schools, they can't believe it.
I used to joke with my wife. I said, I said, I think you work just so that you can take what little bit they give you and give it back to the students through the things that you do for them.
Yeah.
And she just kind of looks at me and laughs. She goes, yeah, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a ministry. People don't, and that's
a ministry.
Thing. With that being said, you want to talk about, evangelism. It was a great field for me while I was there for evangelism. I mean, they have a lot of foreign exchange students at North Star Christian. I remember walking laps around the field with the Chinese foreign exchange students. I remember one student in particular, Jerry Liu, that was there for a few years, and we had some good conversations. I remember one time talking to him, Puff Gospel, and a couple of the kids chimed in to support me. And, it just is, it's a field. And somebody used that term the other day. We had a crusade meeting. They used the term field in prayer. It just really spoke to me as a reminder that the world is a field for us.
Yeah.
It's a harvest field, and we ought to be intentional, and we ought to have an urgency.
We had one of those foreign exchange students. We were asked to take them in for 3 months.
Yeah, I remember you telling me this.
It ended up being almost 11 years.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And then we had another one that came through Lima Christian, and we had her in our house for 3 years. Mm-hmm. And we still have great relationships with them. And
that's awesome.
But the one gave his life to Christ. He's now living in UK with his new wife.
That's awesome.
And even there, it's a mission field.
It is. It really, really is. And, hopefully we look at it that way because, again, we have a tendency, I'm sure myself as well has been guilty of it, is of separating, quote unquote, formal ministry and everyday life. But, the reality is, it's like the Apostle Paul said, he says to the Corinthian church, you know how I lived all seasons of my life.
Right.
So our lifestyle ought to be our ministry.
Amen.
And so with that being said, I told you it's 25 minutes of gospel-centered conversation. We're in the last, 6 or 7 minutes of it. So I'm going to ask one more question, then I'm going to end the way we always end. But give us one testimony. Just give us one testimony recently, because Harvest 15 years, but you said there's been a lot going on. There's been new people coming, maybe even some people coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Give us one testimony in the last 1, 2, 3, 4 years from Harvest.
Okay, just in the last 8, 10 months, I had an opportunity to do a wedding ceremony for a couple who had been together for 15 years. They have a child together. Okay. And when they first came, he was struggling with some areas of addiction and some things that were kind of dominating his life. And come to find out, his wife was a practicing Wiccan.
Oh, wow.
And through a ministry of our church, they came to American Heritage Girl. Their daughter was there. And but through that, they decided to come to church for a Sunday. Just because. Let's try it out. Let's check it out. Let's see what's going on there. Well, after a week, they kept coming back, and then a second week, a third week, and they started to become pretty regular after a couple of months. Well, then all of a sudden, she put her faith and trust in Jesus Christ.
Mm.
God took away all the other, you know, practices that she had, yes, in her life. 2 weeks later, he came to me and said, "Pastor, I just want you to know I gave my life to Christ as well."
That's awesome.
And then, yeah, he's coming to Bible study at men's group every Thursday, mm-hmm, night. And after 1 week, he looks at me and goes, "Pastor, everyone's gone." You know, there he goes, do you have a few minutes? I said, "Absolutely." Comes up and he goes, you know, my wife and I, or my, at that time, you know, common-law wife, we've been together forever. He goes, "But we've never been married." He, mm-hmm, goes, "I feel like God would have us to get married." And I said, "Well, I agree with you."
Mm-hmm.
And so I have watched God bring them both to faith in Christ.
Transform.
Yeah. I've watched God change their entire purpose and existence and what they're living for.
That's wonderful.
I've watched them come together through marriage. Their kids are doing well. It's just amazing.
Total miracle.
Total transformation. Total miracle. What God has, yeah, done in their life just in the last 8-10 months.
That's amazing. And you took, really quickly because we're running out of time, but you took an opportunity. They would have been living together 15 years. You didn't scold them for that.
No.
You took opportunity for that to draw them to Christ. And
yes,
that's the fruit of that. That's a great testimony. I'm glad I asked that question to you. We're down to the last few minutes, and we end the show the same way. So if you could just take literally just 60 seconds.
Sure.
We're on Facebook Live, but this will air on WYSL 11:30 p.m. beginning this Sunday. If you could just take 60 seconds, the clock's right there, to just explain to the people or share the gospel in your words.
To me, everyone has a story. What is the story that Jesus Christ came down to earth to portray? And the story is that he came to draw men to himself.
Mm-hmm.
He came to the world, condemned the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Amen.
And so the reality is, what is the story that God is writing in my life? I have to come to the conclusion that I am a sinner, that Christ died, mm-hmm, for my sins because he loved me that much. Even though I'm unworthy, and though I'm unholy, I'm unrighteous, God loved me so much that he would send his son, Jesus, to die for me. And in writing my story, I have something that I can share with everyone else. You know, it's not about all the verses you memorize, all the, you know, experiences you may have, but your story that God is writing and willing to put your faith and trust in him and him alone, and then using that to simply tell someone else what has happened to you.
Amen.
And I think we all have that story. We all have a story,
a testimony.
The unsaved world may not know what a testimony is, but you can't argue what God has done in your life.
Good work. Lastly, in 30 seconds, Harvest Bible Fellowship, tell us the address again and service time.
Sure.
If you could.
Every Sunday, we are at 1125 Cockins Road, Rochester, New York. And our service is at 10:30 every Sunday morning. And various discipleship and Bible study classes throughout the week. But we'd love to encourage you to come visit us.
Is there a website?
www.harvestbiblerock.org.
Harvestbibleroc.org. Thank you so much, Pastor Ken. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I see various people there, Karen and Patricia and Pastor Shulk. By the way, Pastor Shulk, keep up the good work. I've seen when you're out there on Westridge Road via Facebook with Pastor Nick, so keep that going. Keep doing the work of an evangelist. I want to thank everybody for praying, for Rescue and Revive Ministries, supporting financially. A couple things coming up. We had our One Crusade meeting. We'll be going to all 8 Ivy League colleges in the Northeast coming up in September. It's our 10th Crusade. We just had our meeting. Our prayer team will be going out September 11th through the 14th. Our 2 evangelism teams made up of 11 men will be going out September 17th through the 21st. Keep that in prayer. One more event. Follow the Cloud, open air, crusade dinner at the Moose Lodge in Henrietta, your backyard. I'm inviting you right now. August 24th, 6 p.m. to 8:30. The band Lifted will be playing. Crusade team will be there. Free chicken dinner for everybody. Freely receive, freely give. We never charge in this ministry for anything. It could be a hat, a handkerchief, a shirt, or a dinner. We don't charge because we want to be the example of Christ. So thank you again for helping us rescue the lost and revive the saved with the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ. Have a great day. God bless.
Amen.